My name is Raina Klander, and I'm the coordinator and evaluator of Shields for Living Tools for Life program with CASI, which is part of the broader Back on Track initiative.
Why do you think youth crime is such a problem in Alice Springs?
The youth I've worked with over the years who are getting into this kind of trouble all have the commonalities of being from really hard backgrounds. So, you know, issues around neglect or abuse or poverty, overcrowding in houses, and so on. And so why does that lead to offending? I think it's, you know, for obvious reasons. If you're impoverished, you want to get what you don't have. I think there's an element of seizing some kind of control in a life that otherwise lacks any control. And I think some of that behavior should be understood as a protest against the injustices they see, why they're not getting adequate care, why they have less than others in the community, etc. And then to understand why all of these terrible circumstances surround them, you can talk all day to such a big question, of course.
Who came up with this program, Shields for Living, Tools for Life?
So our program was adapted off the Men's Chilra movement, which is a program that's been in existence in the Western Desert, starting off in Papunya around 5 years ago, run by my colleague Jamie Chuparula. So we've adapted that, the model of going out on camps, doing cultural activities, which is now an alternative detention program.
What's unique about this program that you think could make a positive impact?
Perhaps what's most unique is our emphasis on traditional toolmaking and the expertise that Jamie Gibraltar brings in that area. Ours goes out, forms cohorts of the same language group after receiving referrals from any agency in town. And once we have that group, we see where they're best connected, which community, which area. Then we do consultations with the community there, with anybody who wants to be involved in the authoring and delivering of an attempt to address their issues or their kids. We involve as many family members as we can to support the youth, and importantly also the most senior cultural authority, if they're available to come on the camp. Then we sit down for 5 days and do tool making, which I've now seen has immense therapeutic merit. I've observed in the last couple of camps there's the obvious cultural relevance and significance of making a traditional tool, but I think there's also benefit in an activity that makes you regulated, brings you back into your senses, brings all areas of your brain online. If you're anxious or you're traumatized, you're living a lot of your life at a flight or flight response mode, and so you don't have access to your critical thinking part of your brain. So we really need that online if we're going to have these difficult discussions about offending, and that's what I've seen tool making do. You sit down, you're doing something rhythmic together without any real pressure of having to say anything beyond doing the tool making, and I've seen all of these kids who are great kids but are bouncing off the walls, you know, even just by virtue of being young, teeming with energy, just really calm down and become really receptive to difficult conversations or conversations in general.
What do you think it will take to improve the youth crime issue in Alice Springs?
I don't hold all the answers, but I think one fundamental shift needs to be away from a mentality the victims of offending think it's justified. You can feel angry, but I don't think it's always appropriate, or I think it's not appropriate when the culprit is a young child who may have developmental issues, meaning they're far younger than they are in years, intellectually, who've come from an incredible disadvantage. You know, it should be directed at what the broader reasons for why there is that disadvantage. So it needs to shift away from this mentality of what do we deserve to do by the way of punishment, and second to that, that what's going to change these kids is hard discipline and breaking them in with stern, staunch responses. What we have seen from the evidence is to really impact someone's offending behavior, you need to increase their psychological well-being, and that can only really be done through therapeutic and trauma-informed programs. Just that acknowledgement and understanding of that's what needs to change. We also made a special effort to identify and seek out who are considered the most important elders. We acknowledge their value of what they can contribute to the camps.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about the program?
Yeah, just like to include what I failed to earlier, the other psychological focus of what we seek to do in the program. So pre and post host the camps, our forensic and clinical psychologist and director delivers forensic rehabilitation meetings with the youth, and so has discussions and tries to build awareness around their forensic behaviours, being their offending, understand the patterns and triggers, and also the impacts that it has on the victims of their offending. So that happens pre and post the camp, so we're able to get a good measure of if anything has changed in their thinking around their offending. So again, we have that pre and post data to see what kind of impacts happened. And then we look at police criminogenic data of the young offenders. So we monitor at several intervals after the camps, what are the trends saying in their offending? Has it reduced after a month, to 2 months? How's it looking then after 3, 4, 5, 6? And so we see what kind of impact the camps have and how long that endures.
Well, I hope to catch up with you a little bit further down the track and hear how it's going.
For sure.